inflation, and product shortages. Those are all over the place and they're going to get worse. I'm going to teach you about inflation today. Come on, let's go take a look. Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson here. Listen, if you found me through my COVID coverage, we're going a little bit off script today. Well, for you, maybe, not for me. My normal work in the world. Hey, I'm your information scout. I go out and I gather data, I gather information, and I try and assemble it into a coherent framework. Now, we've been talking about, at Peak Prosperity, shortages that are coming for a long time. And it looks like COVID has really accelerated some of these shortages. And today, there's a really disturbing collection of signals out there I wanted to make you aware of. Let's talk about it. I think these things are really going to affect your life. And there's some steps you really probably should consider taking. So if you found my early warning about masks to be helpful, this is a warning I've been waiting for weeks and weeks to be giving. I might be even a little late to the punch with it, but it's no less important today. So let's get into it and take a look at it. First, I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Inflation. Milton Friedman said it best. Inflation is everywhere and always a monetary phenomenon. So there's some inaccuracies out there. The first thing is, hey, you might be thinking this is the wrong characterization. A lot of people think about it this way, which is wrong, which is that inflation means prices are going up. And no fault if you think it that way. Because why? Well, the media tells you that all the time. The media is in the business of making this wrong characterization. They've made a cottage industry out of it. So this isn't right. But if this isn't right, well, what is then? The right way to think about this, the right characterization is that inflation is the value of your money going down. So we might say, oh, house prices went up. No, the amount of house you got for a given unit of money went down. So it's really important to think about it one way versus the other way, because if it's just prices going up, then it gets reported to you like it's like, oh, look, there's a comet in the sky. It portends ill omens. It's not like that. It's very understandable when money gets printed and there's too much money chasing too few goods and services or other things like financial assets. Hey, you get inflation. Okay, so that's part one. Inflation is actually the value of your money going down. It's not the price of things going up as well. Another wrong idea is to think of inflation just in terms of the things they report on all the time, which is the prices of milk and gasoline or jeans or that you wear or furniture or things like that. Sure, yes, inflation has to do with commodities, staples, the things that you would go to the store and buy. But inflation applies to many more things than that. So remember, the definition of inflation is everywhere and always it's a monetary phenomenon. So the only question you have to ask when you're wondering where's the inflation is, well, when they printed the money up, where'd it go, right? So if they printed the money up and they handed it to Wall Street, we would expect to see prices of things that Wall Street values go up. And that's what we saw. The prices of stocks and bonds, of course, we're familiar with those, but the derivative products of things that, Wall Street buys, which would include Hamptons houses, Gulfstream jets, trophy properties all over the place, things like that, rare wines, art, you name it. So when all this money got printed up by the Federal Reserve, it got thrown into the system. But as you saw, you might have gotten a $1,400 stimmy check, but trillions of dollars were printed and handed out to the market. So you got peanuts. The market's got massive quantities of money. So let's go here right now. I wanted to discuss today. This is a great tweet. This is from the dude that was in The Big Short. If you remember the movie, The Big Short, haven't seen it? You should see it. In there is a character, a real person, Michael Burry is his name. He actually has, this is his Twitter handle. And just today he said, people always ask me, what is going on in the markets? Hey, it's simple, he writes. Greatest speculative bubble of all time in all things by two orders of magnitude. Like, not even close. It's not like we could sort of compare it to the tech bubble of the year 2000 or the housing bubble of the year 2007 and 8. We are in the largest bubble ever in all of history. You want to know why? It's very simple. Follow me. We're going to the headwaters of the Nile. This is the context you need. And by the way, this context is almost never given in the newspapers, on the news, CNBC. They just don't cover this. But if you want to know why things are going up in price or why the value of your money is going down, all you have to look at is the twin tributaries of the Nile River in this story. And here's the first of them. It's the Federal Reserve. This is an astonishing chart. You see there before 2008, way over there on that first sort of grayish, bluish bar, purplish bar, however that's showing up on your monitor, that one back there from 2008 to 9, we see that first emergency spike from about $800 billion. So this is millions of U.S. dollars on the left axis. So what's $1,000 million? It's a trillion. So we saw there that for the all of U.S. history, all of it, almost said human history, I meant all of U.S. history, from the founding of the country through every war, building every bridge, every school, right on up until the year 2008, required about $800 billion of money creation out of thin air by the Federal Reserve. But then they doubled that in just a couple of months, and they did that because of the great financial crisis. And then the markets got really addicted to that. And the Federal Reserve didn't want the stock market to go down because they said, well, that would be bad because then people would lose confidence. They don't have confidence and they don't buy stuff. And so they kept printing and then they didn't know how to stop. And right there on the right side of the chart is when we see what happened with COVID. So COVID came along, scared the bejeebus out of them. And then they really poured the monetary printing on. And then we can finally see up here, let me see if I can get my drawing tool out here because we're going to make this happen here. You see this last part up here, they're still printing like crazy. The Federal Reserve is printing as if it's an emergency. And this isn't, the Federal Reserve is just a metaphor, if you will, but an important one because they are the central bank of the world compared to the others. But Bank of Japan, same sort of thing. European Central Bank, even more egregious than this. Just printing, printing, printing money. And so what happens when you print money? Well, where does it go? When the Federal Reserve prints money, it doesn't show up in your bank account. It doesn't show up in mine. But it does show up on Wall Street. And so, of course, what we saw was the stock market. Here are the lows in the pandemic lows of March. We still had massive pandemic going on through all of this, but stock market's like taking off. Just to, for those of you who've been following me on Twitter for a while, you'll recognize this. Hey, I brought out the magic ruler. That's my anomaly ruler. A ruler straight increase, because this is what the Federal Reserve wants. They want stock prices to go up, and they've engineered that, and they do that by printing money, trillions and trillions of dollars, and they throw it into the markets. As well, they print trillions and trillions of dollars, and they use them to funnel that to the federal government. By the way, you may not know this, the Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express. It's not actually a federal agency. It's a government-sponsored entity. It's privately held. A lot of people don't know this. It's important to know because I believe you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. I actually think that if you give somebody the power of a printing press, which is an amazing power, like you couldn't trust me with one of those. You put one of those in my basement, bad things will happen to my life. I bet you, because you can't, it's just human nature. We can't resist that sort of power. So there really ought to be some oversight over that level of printing, which is just amazing and astonishing. But the Federal Reserve has been printing like crazy and creating this massive increase in stock prices. So you've read about the impact of this. The prime impact is that the world's billionaires have doubled their wealth, more or less, or added trillions and trillions of dollars to their collective wealth in a very short period of time, while the net worth of everybody from the median on down has basically gone backwards. So this is really reverse Robin Hood. The Federal Reserve prints money, hands it to rich people, they get richer, and inflation spikes for the poor people, and then that's the transfer of wealth mechanism that's going on here. So that's what's been happening. And so I just wanted you to know about that because these two things are totally connected. So you see this increase here, this dotted line connects this low of the stock market here with this beginning of the printing press right here. So what we're seeing here is this entire rise has cost the Federal Reserve, what's that? It went from, I don't know, a little over $4 trillion to $8 trillion. It cost $4 trillion of freshly printed money by the Federal Reserve to make those who are holding stocks feel stockier and wealthier. That's the game. That's what's been going on. But as I mentioned, inflation is everywhere and always a monetary phenomenon. So the Federal Reserve has been doing two things with the money it's been printing. One, it's been buying U.S. Treasury bonds, so it's been supporting fiscal expenditures and deficits by the U.S. government. Two, it's been buying up mortgage-backed securities to drive down the borrowing costs for mortgages. That sounds cool, right? But what happens when you drive down mortgage borrowing costs? It turns out it drives up the price of housing. So that's indeed what we've seen. The Federal Reserve has been buying like crazy. However, here's the new home price. Here's a existing home price index. This is better for new home buyers when it's going down. You get more house for your dollar. This is worse for new home buyers or for people who are starting households and things like that. So the Federal Reserve, by policy, has actively been making houses more and more and more expensive as a policy, which, by the way, punishes the younger generations who are typically trying to form households and rewards, I'm putting that in air quotes, I'll tell you why, rewards those who already own homes by making their house prices go higher. When I say rewards, it's not actually the case because, as you know, as your house price goes up, so do your taxes, so does your insurance. The cost of all of those things go higher and higher. So unless you can actually tap into the increased price of your home and take that money out of the market by selling an expensive house and going to live somewhere less expensive, unless you do that, a rising home price actually doesn't do you any good, which is why Robert Kiyosaki says one of the first things he has to train people to do is to understand that your house is not an asset. It's a liability. How do you tell the difference? Well, a liability takes money out of your pocket and an asset puts money back in your pocket. So if you own rental properties, it's an asset. If you own a home to live in, more often than not, it's a liability because it costs you more than it might cost even to rent, depending. All right. So housing, look at this. In the past year alone, the median cost, that means half above, half below, the median cost of a home in the U.S. shot up 15% from $300,000 to $340,000. This is median across everywhere. This includes places in Alabama where they have $100,000 homes and places in Texas which have, well, like here in Austin, Texas, where the average home went for more than $800,000 in April. Hey, good luck with that, first-time home buyers in Austin. 800 grand. It's an astonishing amount of money. And people are examining this as if it was just something that's happening. Like, oh, house prices are just going up. They're not. It's an active act of policy. It's caused by this increase over here in the Federal Reserve boosting and pouring all this money into the mortgage market, which is creating the conditions that make housing do this. So rising home inflation, which means you get less home for the same amount of dollars, that rising home inflation is actually due to an active policy by the Federal Reserve. So I just want to make sure we understand that very clearly, because most people talk about inflation, again, like it's this mysterious comet that comes across the heavens. It's not. It's an act of policy, because inflation is everywhere and always a monetary phenomenon. Print more money, you're going to get inflation. That it doesn't show up in milk right away is just a side effect of where that money went first. Happened to go to Wall Street first. Happened to go to the housing markets first. Happened to go to those places, but it's coming everywhere now. And that's what we're going to cover today. All right. Even the massaged indexes, air quotes again. So these are the indexes. We have the consumer price index, and we also have what's called the producer price index. This one's just CPI and core, what they call core CPI. Next one's got the producer price on it. So the CPI is the consumer price index. It's supposed to measure inflation, but it's a really heavily massaged government statistic. It has a lot of tricks that it does. I cover this in the crash course at my website on the inflation chapter. Great chapter. Check it out. You would learn how they, if you're interested, the ways in which we tell ourselves white lies, or maybe they're not white lies because white lies are supposed to be harmless. The ways in which we fib to ourselves as a nation about how inflation isn't quite as bad as it actually is. And that's used called the consumer price index. It's just awful how bad it is. So here, look at this, 4.2%. I got this one when I was preparing for this. Like I told you, I've been trying to get this episode out for weeks. I was preparing for this one. That's actually like a 4 week old slide. So let's update that. Oops. Now it's at 6.5% this month. And so here we are seeing the producer price index, that's the 6.5%. Here we're almost at 5% on the consumer price index, 4.9%. And you see here, anybody who bought bonds, the treasury yield is 3 to 4% below these numbers down here. And that's just, you're getting crushed. If you own bonds, you are losing money. They are guaranteed certificates of confiscation right now. But this is astonishing. So at 5%, if we had 5% inflation, if this persists, it means that every 14 years, the value of your dollar gets cut in half. Every 14 years. So if you had $1 million in a bank account and you got conked on the head and you woke up 14 years later out of a coma, you'd say, well, I still have my $1 million. Well, that's the good news. The bad news is it would only be worth $500,000 in that new environment out there because its value would have got cut in half. And what's interesting here is that the Federal Reserve and most fund managers, they all agree. It's good. The whole system, the fund managers being the ones who have access to this early money from the Fed. They're all in agreement that the inflation, they say, is going to be transitory. Transitory, like a comet. Transitory. It's here, now it's not. Just comes and goes. It's just gonna go away again. I disagree with that extraordinarily, and here's why. The other thing I told you the Federal Reserve was supporting was buying treasuries, which supports the U.S. government going into deficit spending. Look at the U.S. government fiscal deficit. Fiscal deficit of $3.3 trillion in the year 2020 is going to be way worse in the year 2021. This is just an absolute crushing onslaught of brand new debt and deficit spending. So what's the mechanism? How does deficit spending happening? So the government's spending money it doesn't have. So you would say, well, they go out and borrow it, but not really, because the government prints up something called a bond, auctions it out into the open market, and they have a lot of help from what are called the primary dealers, which is JP Morgan and Citi and Goldman Sachs, all that. These big banks buy these bonds and they help the government run an auction. But then they have to find buyers for all these bonds too. So who buys them? Well, you know, pension funds, but also the Federal Reserve. Often that same day, meaning the U.S. government sells a bond and it's bought by J.P. Morgan and then it's in the Federal Reserve's bank account or on its balance sheet in its coffers within the day. And so what happened, where did the Federal Reserve get the money for that? Well, they printed it out of thin air. That's the only place they ever get their money from. They don't actually have money at the Federal Reserve. They have printing presses or the electronic equivalent. So when the government is deficit spending $3.3 trillion, what's actually happening is the Federal Reserve, for the most part, is printing that money out of thin air, and or the banks are creating it and handing it back to the government. But that's still real money. So when the government cuts a check and they have an infrastructure project or they're spending it on a pass-through account, like they're sending it out on Social Security or Medicare payments or whatever those transfer payments are, or they're spending it on another bomb to go use somewhere in the Middle East or wherever. That money is actually spent. It's conjured into creation. It's spent by the government. So now we have a lot of money out there. We have more money in the system. When you have more money in the system, what do you get? Inflation. So that's what we're talking about today. So we have inflation, and it's really driven by these twin processes of the fiscal deficit of the U.S. government, but all of it is enabled by this, the trillions and trillions of dollars of money printing by the Federal Reserve. Now, why does this matter? Sounds kind of wonkish, right? Well, the reason this matters is this is going to make your life a lot harder. And this is, if whether you're listening from Europe or the United States or anywhere in North America or anywhere in Japan, doesn't matter. This same dynamic is being driven all over the world at this point in time. All right, so that's inflation. Here it is. It's here. It's coming. It's going to be a lot worse before it gets better. That's the way I'm reading the tea leaves right now. And that's coupled to this concept of shortages. Let me cover this very quickly. First, a saying. If you're one of my longtime followers, you know I'm fond of this saying, and that is, once is an accident, twice is a coincidence, but three times is enemy action. So if we just had some sort of shortages in one area, you can squint at that and say, well, that'll get rectified. But we're going to see that we're not facing shortages that satisfy the three times condition of this particular saying. We're gonna find that we're probably up to like 50. And at 50 times, you probably really ought to be considering that it's not just enemy action, but the whole battalion has arrived on your outpost. All right, first thing is we have to understand our global supply chains are really complicated, and things, you know, your computer you buy isn't just made somewhere up the street and given to you. The chips come from here, and the chips are assembled over there, and the other components come from here, and the screens come from there, and the keyboard's made there from components that came from elsewhere. So it really is just, and the things just go back and forth all the time, right? So this is what the global supply chain looks like, and it might be that your computer had to travel 30,000 miles equivalently to get to you. And it might have involved 20 or 30 different factories and processes all aligned to get in there. It's a highly complex system. It's brilliant. It's a beautiful thing. But it's a little bit sensitive to shortages and things like that. So that's what we're worried about here. So right now, we have Intel reiterates that the fact that we have these chip shortages, chips meaning computer chips, chip supply shortages could last several years. And you've probably already heard about the fact that one of the first derivative impacts of that was that car models have been getting hit with the worst microchip shortage that I've ever been aware of at this point in time. And so hundreds of thousands of units of different makes of cars and trucks, light trucks, aren't being produced because they simply lack the chips they need in order to produce the cars. That is a very serious sort of a shortage. But you see, that chip supply shortage begat this auto and vehicle shortage. But it actually goes a lot further than that. Remember, all these things are like wildly interconnected. Here's something you probably didn't think about, which is that the chip shortage is forcing farmers to plan ahead. Reading from the highlighted parts here, it says the worldwide shortage of computer chips will impact all aspects of agriculture for the next 2 years and beyond. Continuing, quote, meanwhile, farm equipment manufacturers have halted shipments to dealers because they don't have the chips to put in the equipment, end quote. So here we're seeing the chip shortages is coming into food production. I can show you a dozen other places where this chip shortage is starting to really impact production of all kinds of things. And it's going to be very unpredictable because it's like that, what was that old, I forget what you would call this, but that old saying that's, you know, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, a rider was lost, and on until the war is lost, right? These things are all highly interconnected, and there's so many different parts feeding on each other that when you just have a chip shortage, it ripples to part A, which then impacts part B, and then next thing you know, you're having trouble with part C, and so on. So the shortages are actually getting pretty alarming at this point in time. We're seeing them all over the place. This is something I never thought I'd see, which is a massive warning from what's called Dr. Copper. Why Dr. Copper? Because he's got his doctorate in economics. Dr. Copper, if you wanted to look at one bellwether substance to understand how the world economy or local economy is doing, you could look at the price of copper, but maybe, I guess now the supply of copper, which I hadn't considered would be a thing this soon. But we have this massive warning from Dr. Copper, which is that the world is now risking running out of copper, and prices may just go absolutely through the roof as a consequence of that. Reading from this article in yellow, quote, the world risks running out of copper amid growing demand for the metal. Second quote, inventories measured metric tons now stand at levels seen 15 years ago. And the world economy is like literally half the size it currently is, roughly, implying that stocks cover just 3.3 weeks of demand. It could go up to $5.89 a pound, which is more than twice as high as it was a year ago. That would be a huge, massive inflationary increase. Why? Because copper shows up in almost everything that you're going to be buying that's a durable good. It shows up in cars, washing machines. It's in just, you know, pretty much every large manufactured component that has electricity in it. Continuing on, quote, if scrap supply doesn't come through, stocks would entirely deplete by 2024. Never been in a situation like this before. Obviously, the price, if they depleted completely, $5.89. $15.89 a pound, who knows, right? So this is actually a pretty serious warning, and for a shortage like this to erupt is a pretty big deal. So remember I said, you know, once is an accident, twice is a coincidence, but three times is enemy action. I wish it was just Dr. Copper and chips giving us this signal. Here's a partial list of things that are either inflating or in very serious shortage right now. It's new and used car prices are going through the roof. Plastics, there's all kinds of stories around that. There was that Texas weather incident a while back seemed to impact plastic production, but it seems to be wider than that because it's kind of global. Steel and copper, steel prices. I haven't seen anything like steel prices. My local fabricator welder guy used to not even quote the price of steel in the overall cost. Now it can be as much as half of the cost of any job he's doing. It's exploding. Palm oil, diapers and toilet paper. Shipping capacity, that's both for trucks and the truckers that drive them, as well as container ships themselves. Uber drivers, They've been saying that they're going to have to basically try and bribe the Uber drivers to come back to work. I'm like, oh, no, that's called raising your prices till it's worth it to do it. That's raising your wages, not bribing. Interesting the way they were covering that. Continue on. Existing and new home stock for sale in the U.S. Furniture. Lazy Boy is saying that if they order something, 5 to 9 month wait to ship it out. Chicken wings. Big shortage in chicken wings. Bacon. Say it ain't so, but it's true. Bacon, pool chlorine, worst shortage in history. Corn, especially with the weather issues going on in the United States. Corn, oxygen. We've heard about the shortages in India, but there's not enough oxygen production worldwide at this point in labor, generally speaking, in the United States for sure. So if we were just looking at sort of a shortage or inflation on any, just one or two categories, listen, it could be coincidence. But by the time we're talking about things as diverse as truckers and oxygen and bacon and Lazy Boy furniture or whatever, it's just too many categories. We have to consider that this is actually now a systemic global issue. Those do not get resolved easily or quickly. It's not going to be transitory. That's for sure. So as we look into this, I just wanted to alert you around this. First up, bottom lines here. Inflation, definitely not transitory in this story. It's 100% caused by the Federal Reserve. They've been printing. They have no plan for how they're going to get out of it. Because, by the way, the only way the Federal Reserve is capable of undoing that all that monetary printing, creating inflation, if they wanted to, is they got to do the reverse of what they just did. They've got to unprint that money. How do you unprint money? Easy. Federal Reserve reaches out and takes cash out of the banking system and gives them back their mortgage-backed securities, gives them back treasuries. So now these banks are not sitting on cash anymore. Now they're sitting on, you know, these debt instruments. And so there's less cash in the system. If they did that, though, here's why the Federal Reserve won't do that. Why they just won't. That would cause the stock market to go down. And that's not something they want to have happen, because this Federal Reserve is the weakest, lamest one I've ever seen. I mean, just past Federal Reserve officials have actually been of high integrity and really helpful people. This crew, more interested in making sure the billionaires stay billionaire and that the ruling elite class stay wealthy. And how do they do that? By keeping financial prices elevated. So they don't absolutely do not want to undo any of this. So they're willing for you to take the pain of higher inflation. And then, but they're going to mumbo jumbo about it being transitory or slightly hotter than expected, but it's actually a product of their own creation, okay? 100% caused by the Federal Reserve. Bottom line, shortages are all over the place. No single cause. No, it wasn't because this one factory did that or this one ship got clogged in the Suez Canal. There's no one cause. There's shortages worldwide. And here's what's unpredictable. We don't know what happens to a worldwide, just-in-time global inventory system that requires large distributed manufacturing when you start plucking strings out of that particular web. Eventually, you run into things can seize up, and we're seeing that. You're going to need a plan to weather the next few years, because I think this is a multi-year process at a minimum, where we're going to see lots and lots of shortages. We're going to see lots and lots of rising prices for things. And so you'll need a plan to cover that. Now, we are going to be discussing this in a live webinar this weekend. If you're watching this, the week here of coming up to Saturday, June 19th. At my website, Peak Prosperity, we're going to have a live webinar. I'll be on there. We're going to be discussing this issue, both the shortages and the inflation, what we can do about that, what you might be able to do about that. So if you're interested in coming by that, just click on this link right here. Just click on this, and that'll take you to a page where we've got some special offers for you YouTube viewers in particular, if you're interested in just testing that out and seeing what we do and how we do it. My job, I'm an information scout. I gather all this data, save you the time. That's part of the value proposition. But the rest of it is in the hive mind, the intelligence of all the people who come to Peak Prosperity to talk about these issues, gather more data. But then most importantly, because information without action is useless, what are you going to do about it? So that's what we care about. That's what my report for you here today. Hey, we'll be seeing you next time. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you found this valuable at all, help us out. Click the like button, click subscribe. We'll see you next time.